Welcome to the Buccaneers Observer Podcast. This is Ralph Phillips and
Molly Bay.
Yeah, we're not too happy. What a horrible, horrible, horrible game.
Ooh, it was bad. Like the good old days.
Like the good old days, yeah. I guess as Bucs fans, we should be used to those by now, but it never seems to, the pain never seems to lessen any.
Yeah, I mean, the fan base is pretty much in a big tizzy.
Oh, yeah, it's the Fire Mike Smith fan base right now.
Right.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
Just like the good old days.
Just like the good old days. What's this been? Like 15 defensive coordinators we've had in the past 10 years or something? It's ridiculous. And all the defensive line. I mean, we've had 4 or 5 coaches. And I mean, when's enough is enough? When is the fan base going to realize that just firing people does not equal winning?
I think at this point it's more about punishment than trying to solve the problem.
I think it is a problem that the fan base has with its results. It's all they know how to do. It's all they know how to do is just call for people to be fired.
Well, you know, it's easier to destroy things than to...
Than build.
Fix it. And with the NFL, you've got such a high turnover with coaches. And maybe it's not unique to the Bucs fan base. Maybe we just hear it so often because we're part of a losing fan base. But... I mean, coaches really have a lifespan of about 2 years with a team, if they're...
Well, it all depends on what team you're at. I mean, look at the Bengals, the Steelers, the Patriots.
But they're winners.
Yeah, that's true, too. I guess that helps.
If you're winning, they're not going to call for your head. You can keep your job so long as you're winning. Even if you're mediocre like Marvin Lewis.
Well, I'm from the old school. I think you get players and you get coaches and you stay with them until they're done. I'm just not a big fan. I saw this with fantasy football and what's the other thing? Oh, free agency. You know, you combine the two and now it's just, hey, let's get rid of this player and get another player that'll get us more points, or let's get rid of this coach and get us another coach that's better. You know, it doesn't work that way.
Well, it's like under Shiano when his first season, when the secondary was so atrocious. And so we're like, oh, go get Darrell Revis. Go get Darrell Revis. He's in free agency. So we get him, and what's he do? Nothing. He's coming off of an injury. Mm-hmm. We pay him a shitload of money.
Well, we got Darrell Revis that year, and we've got Goldson.
Mm-hmm.
Right? A hard-hitting safety back there.
And then we had Mark Barron.
And we had Mark Barron. Yeah.
And Jonathan Banks, was that one we got?
Jonathan Banks, that's right, who never really panned out to do much. But the point being is that we shored up our secondary as much as you could shore up a secondary. I mean, just getting Darrell Revis alone was enough. I mean, he was the best out there. And guess what happened? The next year, the team blew up on the offense. Freeman decided he wanted to, you know, go party instead of play football. And then next thing you know, Coach Shiano's out at the end of the year. So, you know, just firing Mike Smith is not going to help the team. It's not guaranteed to even get us a better coach. So it's not a solution, people. It's not a solution. I'll tell you what the solution is.
What's that solution?
Get Justin Evans a little bit more time back there to learn how to play this game.
Ooh, he did a post-game press conference.
Who, Evans?
Justin Evans did.
Yeah.
He's a young kid.
Young guy.
He didn't look real thrilled to be there.
He should not have looked real thrilled.
I think he knew, and he said the problem was execution. We just didn't execute.
Him. I'm going to tell you, I sat here and I've watched the first half, all 22, and analyzed it and all that good stuff. It's taken me quite a few hours because I just keep rewinding. I am blown away. And one of the things that has really blown me away about this is how nobody's talking about it. Everybody's talking about Mike Smith, firing Mike Smith, but apparently nobody's watched the game film. Justin Evans stank the joint up. I have never seen a player play that bad before.
Which is so weird because in the Pittsburgh game, and maybe with the bye week, you'll have time to watch the all 22 of that game. I mean, he made that beautiful interception
in
the first quarter.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I don't know what has happened, but Justin Evans was, he was the sole reason why we lost this game. I will say that without any qualms whatsoever. He single-handedly gave up over 200 yards and 2 touchdowns himself. That's not the other plays he contributed on messing up.
Where, you know. And what were we, 5 touchdowns down and like 300 pass yards we had given up by the first half?
Yes, yes. And it was almost all attributed to Justin Evans. He did some of the weirdest stuff, and I don't... It was so strange. I kept having to rewind the tape and rewind it and sit there and going, what in the world is going on here? I've never seen anything like it. If I didn't know any better, I would think he was out there on acid. I'm serious. He was running around the field and doing things that you just don't see at this level of the game.
It might make playing a little more fun.
Yeah, especially on the Buccaneers secondary. Well, you know, you gotta say. Well, I mean, we had who is it that's playing safety now? Isaiah Johnson. Isaiah Johnson is playing for Whitehead, who's playing for Conte. So we're down to our third string safety back there. And Justin Evans, you know, he's been hailed as the, you know, he's going to take over the safety position when Chris Conte's gone, you know, so they're putting him up there on a pedestal, and he goes out there and performs like that. And guys, y'all might think I'm exaggerating this, but it not at all. I mean, the guy, everybody knows he fell down on the first touchdown, and you know, he just fell, and his guy caught the touchdown. Now the whole defense was screwy on that one, and I'm not going to let the whole defense slide on this critique, but Justin Evans was. He was running around like a chicken with his head cut off. I saw him do a play where he was lined up on the right hash mark, 30 yards from the line of scrimmage. And when the ball was snapped, he ran to the line of scrimmage all the way to the left side to cover a man that was already covered. And it confused Lavonte David so much as to what Evans was doing. That the Lavonte David stopped in his tracks and started moving forward instead of covering his zone. And because Lavonte David obviously thought that, oh, they must have thrown the ball or I'm missing something because Evans is running over there to tackle the ball carrier. So you see David stop, and then he realizes that, oh, no, that's not what's going on. And he turns around to catch up with his man. And by the time he figures it out, his man's already caught the ball and run for 40 yards. But it was Evans that caused him to do that. And I've never seen anybody do that. Why would you run all the way across the field diagonal to cover a man that's already being covered? And that wasn't the only time he did that. It was the weirdest thing. Weirdest thing. I've got like 7 plays here. 7. Where he just looked like somebody out there on drugs. I'm not going to pull any punches. It was the worst single performance of any football I've ever seen in my life. It was that bad. But like I said, I'm not going to give the team any slack on this one either. You know, we always say, did we lose? Did they win? Or was it a wash? You know, it's kind of even. But there is no doubt whatsoever that we lost this game. This was not a beatdown by the Chicago Bears. This was a screw-up by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
And that's what Cutter said.
He was exactly right.
Monday when he had his press conference.
Watching the game live, you're like, wow, Chicago Bears are beating the crap out of us. Right? Now you watch the game film. Chicago Bears didn't do anything. And they really didn't do anything. They didn't do anything that special. We just screwed up so much that they couldn't help but win. I mean, it was that bad. In the first quarter alone, they had one unforced error, and I count one forced error as missed tackles, dropped balls, a stupid penalty like, you know, offsides or false starts, something like that. They had one. We had 7 in the first quarter. The second quarter, they had 3. We had 10.
Whoa.
10 unforced errors. Now, that's not, you know, where we, you know, make a mistake or they beat us or anything. That's where we make dumb-headed plays. We had 10 of them.
Do you think maybe they were just looking forward to the bye week? Like, they've already taken this game off.
I wouldn't even begin to presume what their intentions were at all. I would not visit their intentions with this game. It was... I don't know. I do not know. It was the strangest thing. But, I will give the team crap. You know, they did mess up. But it was Justin Evans. There's no doubt about that. If it wasn't for Justin Evans, I think you could have taken him off the field. We could have played with 10 men, and we would have had a better chance. That's how bad it was.
Frightening. Maybe we should have put, like, Brian Anger back there or something.
Hey, don't mess with my boy Brian Anger. Tell you what, we'll get rid of everybody on this team before we get rid of Brian Anger. He's a jewel.
Is it Anger?
Anger. Anger.
Banger.
Anger.
Be Anger.
Be Anger. Banger.
Whatever his name is, we like him. Cutter's press conference Monday. Of course, everyone saw his post-game press conference the other night.
Oh, yeah.
After the game.
He's like, fire everybody, including me.
You know, and you see the headline and you wonder, is this an over-exaggeration? Yeah. Is it sensationalized? So we went ahead and watched the press conference, and it was every bit as bad as the headline made it out to be. He was livid, which he should have been. And his point was that, you know, you should fire everyone on the team because that was just atrocious football. And it starts at the top and goes all the way down. So he didn't let Mike Smith off the hook. He didn't let any of them off of the hook. He took absolute responsibility for all of it. Monday, he was a little more level-headed, which you can kind of guess what happened.
Yeah, Sunday, I was really worried that he was going to get in his car, drink a fifth of whiskey, and drive it off a cliff. He looked so depressed and despondent, and he talked like this was it. His life was over. He was pretty upset.
Yeah, he was pissed. The day after, he was a little more rational. He said, you know, maybe it's not as bad as everyone thinks it is. We're not as bad as everyone thinks we are. We're 2-2 still, and you are what your record says you are. After all, he said that Bill Parcell quote.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's who it is.
Yeah.
So he was asked about Mike Smith, obviously.
Or you could do it with the Dennis Green quote. They are who we thought they were.
Exactly that. I wish you had been there, been his like anger translator. So he was asked about Mike Smith and whether him keeping Mike Smith was a matter of them having been together for so long. They've got a relationship. And he said flat out, this is not about relationships. He says, this is a business. This is how I make my living. And it wasn't just Mike Smith that lost the game. So.
Yeah, I always like when people try to give your intentions a personality, you know, they try to figure out what you're thinking and how you are as a person when they don't know anything about you. We don't know what their relationship is. Yeah, they've coached together for quite a few years at three different football teams. I'm sure they're quite friendly, but I wouldn't say that, you know, Cutter is guilty of nepotism. I think he's, you know, just doing what he thinks is the right thing to do.
I mean, if you think about any of your coworkers, if you guys work together well, you have a good working relationship, but think about once that coworker stopped performing, are you really going to have any qualms about getting rid of them? Probably not.
Right,
if it were up to you.
Especially if you're the boss.
Right.
And your job is on the line.
Your job's on the line. That's what he said. He said, this is my livelihood. This is how I make my livelihood.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this. I didn't see anything where the Bears took advantage of our schemes. You know, I didn't see this as, you know, from what I saw in the film, I didn't see this as scheme errors. It was individual play errors. Guys not in position, guys confused, Justin Evans. And, you know, a few missed tackles and everything. Now, the Bears had a couple of plays where they did beat us, but I mean, it was literally only a couple. The rest of them were we screwed up big time.
It's funny. That's exactly what Cutter said, that it was individual breakdowns.
Oh, well, hey, give me the football team then. I can channel the head coach.
And can I just note, and as much as this pains me to say it, that you were right in your prediction about Jameis coming in at halftime.
Yeah, well, I was right about that. I was also right about getting pressure on Trubisky and having him spin out. They did that perfectly, and he ran right into the arms of Justin Pierre-Paul.
Jason.
whatever his name, JPP.
JPP, say the initial.
And they only did that one time. The rest of the time,
or
we didn't get
one good play.
One good play. The rest of the time, we didn't get hardly any pressure on him. And a lot of that was due to they were throwing the ball out quick. But a couple of times, he had 4 or 5 seconds in a clean pocket back there with nobody touching him.
Cutter said, 18.51% of the snaps, we rushed the passer, which is about 4% higher than normal.
Rushed him? You mean blitzed him?
Blitzed him.
Yeah.
Rushed the passer.
Really?
Yes.
I don't know if I've seen that.
He counted because he knew that they were going to ask him in the press conference.
18%?
Yeah. 18.5, that's what he said.
I think we did more than that at the Steelers, but I'm going to have to go back and count.
Just to see if he's right?
Yeah. I don't think so. If we did, we did it in the second half. Maybe because like I said, I've only studied the first half, and I don't recall. I didn't keep track of that. I'll go back and do it.
Interesting. He said Chicago really, they attacked us in the middle. We gave up too many explosive plays.
Oh, yeah. Justin Evans.
They ran a speed formation, which is 3 wide receivers to one side and then a tight end attached to a tackle on the other side, which gives away your defensive coverage, whether it's man or zone. Mm-hmm. So they run some disguises because we run this play a lot also for that same reason. And we have a few disguises for it, but that's the formation they attacked us with the most.
They didn't, on the offense, on our offensive side of the ball, our receivers didn't get free. They were on our receivers, and that kind of surprised me. But they played off of our receivers. It was almost like most of them were Brent Grimes. You know, their cornerbacks were all carbon copies of Brent Grimes. They played 10, 15 yards off our receivers. And it allowed us to get short plays. You know, we'd get 10-yard plays, but we couldn't get open like we have been able to. There was the one pass to DeSean Jackson that was good. That was a beautiful pass by Fitzpatrick. And then there was another bomb to Evans that he ended up dropping. This is just the first half. I don't remember the second half. But generally, we weren't. Their cornerbacks did a pretty good job shutting us down, I thought. Surprised me. I thought we were going to eat them up in the secondary.
Oh, yeah. Well, they were ranked 5 in the passing defense before the game.
I still don't think
they're all that great. Stats mean nothing.
Yeah. Still don't think they're all that great. We just screwed up.
Well, I think you also have to look at the caliber of the team they played before us. So, of course, Cutter was asked about the quarterback situation. He had it in his head. So during the summer, he's on vacation with his family. He gets the call that Jameis is suspended for the first 3 games. So he goes back and he looks at the schedule and he decides Fitz is going to start the first 4 games. And then Jameis would start week 6 in Atlanta after the bye. He had that in his head, that was going to happen. Fitz, they brought in last year to mentor Jameis and to fill in when they needed somebody, but inevitably Jameis is the future of the franchise. So
we'll see how that goes.
See how that goes.
I thought it was the right move.
It's a shame that they had to put Jameis into that situation, but
yeah, talk about going into the wolves' den.
Well, but at the same time, it gives you a little. It exposes him to football speed again, maybe.
Yeah. It would have been a big mess if he would have got hurt, though. But no, I mean, you got to put the guy out there. Any chance he can get to play, you put him out there.
Yeah. So we're coming up to the bye. They're required to give the players 5 days off, but Cutter always gives them 6.
You should give them.
That's nice.
2.
You can't take any away.
I don't know, man. There should be some punishment for this.
Well, they got to sit and stew on it for 2 weeks and think about how bad they sucked.
I wonder what's going to happen to Justin Evans. Poor Justin. Yeah. I'm not saying get rid of him. I'll never say that. You know, just make him aware of it. Let him know we know. Tell him to get better.
Okay, well, let's talk about who did some good things.
Gerald McCoy. Gerald McCoy beast mode it out there. He didn't make the big splash plays. He had a couple of good ones, but I'm telling you what, his motor was going. He was getting after guys. And Vita Vey. I know nobody was really impressed with what he did, but there was a play in the second quarter. I think it was about 3 minutes left. I'll go over this more in the next podcast when we do the All-22 and the preview for the next week. But he picked the guard up and body slammed him with one arm and then ran down the field chasing the ball carrier. It was great. I loved it.
It's so funny to see him run, too, because he is a big boy.
He's a big boy, and he was fast, too. He was keeping up with guys out there.
He makes McCoy look slim and trim.
Yes. Yeah, he's a big boy.
Which is hard to do, because McCoy's big, too.
But he slammed that guard down, or it might have been the center. I think it was the guard. He slammed him down. That guard took a little while to get up. I mean, he was woozy. No doubt about that. Yeah, it was, and he did it with one hand, too, so that was quite impressive. He didn't play a whole lot. I think he had 20 plays around that area. You know, he wasn't out there for most of the game. Oh, and that reminds me. We got rid of Worthy. That's sad.
You were talking about him.
I thought he could do something. But I think him and the coaches didn't get along. He had that false start, and then you saw him yelling at each other. Or you saw the coach, Buckner, yelling at him on the sidelines, and the next day he's fired. So, yeah. And the you're thinking, oh, okay, they're going to get rid of him and bring in a safety or a cornerback. No, they brought in a defensive tackle from, I don't know, the Cardinals or somebody. I can't remember. So he's got a long name. So I don't know who he is. He just got replaced. Worthy got replaced. So something happened there. Although he wasn't the only one that had encroachment. There was like three other guys that did. So yeah. I don't know what's going on there. Something's weird with the defensive line between Spence, Worthy, getting cut like that. Golston getting moved to inside. You know, he's playing defensive tackle now. Huh. That's strange. I don't know. I don't know what's going on there.
Is it scheme or personnel issues, personality clashes?
Don't know.
Yeah, that was my first thought, if they get rid of Worthy and bring in some safety help.
Right, that's what I thought they were going to do. And then, like, within an hour, they had signed this other guy, other defensive tackle. So he was just replaced. There was obviously some bad blood. He's been in the league for 7 years, I think. So.
Mm-hmm. Journeyman.
Yeah. He might have just been like, oh, screw this. I'm not playing with this crappy team anymore.
I'll go find work somewhere else.
JPP did good. You know, he did his usual, kept his motor going, disrupting things, keeping the outside edge steady.
You saw him on the sidelines, and he was yelling at the team, I think trying to pep them up. They commented on it, the announcers did.
Mm.
You know, so they were saying some guys that works on, some guys it just pisses them off.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
It's not a good motivator.
Well, so I'm going to give JPP credit. I don't know if we've talked about this before, but
we met him?
No. No, give credit for getting this team some character and when they... some unity, it seems like. You know, I even noticed, I think it was in this game, they got a sack or a tackle for a loss or something like that, and it was JPP, Gerald McCoy, and I think it was Goldston did their little... tomahawk thing, yeah, whatever it is.
All at once, yeah, it was three of them. I think in the first quarter.
Yeah, it was definitely
the time
early.
Anyone had any life.
But you know, we haven't done that for a decade that I can think of. You know, where we had that team unity, where you know, a player makes a play, everybody runs over and congratulates them and jumps up and down and all that good stuff.
Has that much passion?
Yeah.
You got anything else? I've got division standings, updates on the division standings.
We'll do that.
We went from New Orleans is now number one in the division. They're 3-1. Then the Panthers are 2-1. Bucks are 2-2. And the Falcons are 1-3. Obviously, we're only behind the Panthers because they've got one less loss than us because they had a bye this week. Or week four, they had a bye. So that's why they're ahead of us. But we're third in the division, dropped from first.
Third?
Yeah.
What?
We're tied. I mean...
Oh, we're tied with everybody.
No. New Orleans is 3-1. Panthers are 2-1. We're 2-2. So we've got as many wins as the Panthers, but we have one more loss because of the bye.
New Orleans.
Yeah. New Orleans. And look, we're the only team that's beat New Orleans.
Right.
So what does that say?
It says they weren't ready for us.
We sucker punched them. Hey, a win's a win. There's no asterisk by it.
That's true.
That's true.
Did you just come up with that? That's a good original saying.
I know. You're welcome. OJ Howard's out with a knee sprain. Couple weeks, he'll be gone.
Yeah.
But does that mean, is it a couple weeks in addition to the bye, or is it a couple weeks from this game, which means maybe by the bye or the week after he'll be ready?
I don't know. Good point.
My crystal ball isn't working.
Yeah, so it's we'll a shame. I had him in fantasy football. Now I'm scrambling for a tight end.
Yeah, I know. I had Fitz.
Oh, that's right. You got like 3 points from Fitzpatrick this week.
My quarterback debacle.
Yeah. And Mike Evans.
The whole season. I'm still undefeated, so don't let him talk to you.
Don't let him say that. She's only one game ahead of me, so. How in the world did I go 3-1? I won this week, but I dropped a place. I was in third, now I'm in fourth.
Yeah.
How's that happen?
Because you suck.
That's why I married you.
I'm the champion.
It's a long season. All right. I think we're done here. I'm going to finish up this All 22 and have a really good analysis for Friday. And we're going to talk about a preview for the next game, which is a bye week. And I think we can take this one, guys. I think we can.
We, at the very least, won't lose.
Well, I wouldn't put it past us.
You know, I'm thinking maybe next week we can watch some division rivals and kind of give us an idea where we're at in the division.
Have you not
what
watched?
What we're up against.
You've watched every division rival game with me.
We also drink beer. I don't remember them. I need to take notes.
Oh, we got to do it sober.
Yes.
I don't want to watch a division rival team sober. Goodness. All righty. We will talk to you guys Friday. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, you can send us an email. Ralph. Just one Ralph. @ BuccaneersObserver.com. And Molly's is Molly Bay @ BuccaneersObserver.com. You can contact us on Twitter @ BucksObserver.
Bucks_Observer.
Bucks_Observer. That's not spelled out. It's just the symbol underscore. Because that would be a long handle. Bucks_Observer. @ Bucks_Observer. Or visit our website @ BuccaneersObserver.com and check out what we got there. We got podcasts up there and some stats from a few years ago. So anyhow, we will see you Friday. We'll have some better stuff for you, and we'll get that All 22 analyzed. And you don't want to miss this because it's going to be pretty good.
I'm excited.
All right. You sound excited.
I am.
All right. We'll see you guys Friday then.
Go Bucks.